Welcome to the podcast of Hope Community Church. Hope exists to be a church where people can experience the transformative power of the gospel in the context of grace-centered community. We strive to be real people looking to the real Jesus for real change that can have redemptive impact among individuals, local communities, our city, and the world. For more information, visit hopecommunity.com.
Growing up, I didn't get in a lot of trouble. I was a pretty good kid. Stayed, you know, in the background, didn't do things that stood out. But I remember one time when I got in trouble, and it was pretty embarrassing. I was in third grade, Mrs. McElhaney's class, and when you got in trouble in her class, she would write your name on the chalkboard in the bottom right corner. And if your name was still there at the end of the week, you missed out on Movie Friday. You had to go to a completely different classroom, separated from your friends, missing out on whatever movie you were watching that week. I don't remember what I did, but at one point, my name went up on the board, S-T-E-V-E-N. And it was like a siren, an alarm staring me in the face. You are a troublemaker. You are the one. There were a couple other names up there as well, but it felt like I was being singled out, like everybody was staring at me, that I had messed up in such a way. And I knew I was in danger of missing out on Movie Friday. Well, sometime later in the week, we were walking somewhere in school. It was third grade, so we walked single file behind the teacher. And she turned around and said, "Stephen, I forgot my keys on my desk. Will you go get them for me?" And so I turned and I ran down the hallway, got into the classroom, grabbed her keys on her desk, and as I turned, I saw it. My name. And I realized this is my chance. So I grabbed the dusty black eraser, swipe, put it back down, and ran back away, realizing I had just punched my ticket to Movie Friday. Guilt is a powerful thing. Shame is a powerful thing. I know you know that. I know that you have felt some guilt, some shame over your failure, over your disobedience, over your mistakes. Maybe you were young, maybe it was earlier today, but I know that you know the feeling of being aware that you've done something wrong, what the Bible calls sin. We all know at an emotional level that our actions have consequences, that our disobedience comes with a price, that our actions are going to come back on us in some way. And in an emotional way, we understand that our wrongdoing, our failure, it deserves punishment and even separation from the group, right? That's why when someone hurts your feelings, you don't want to talk to them right away. If they text you or call you, you don't pick up, you ghost them for a little bit. That's why our culture tries to cancel people whose behavior goes against our code of conduct. They deserve to be removed from the group. Now, the hard part about reading the Bible, if you're reading it the right way, is that it tells us over and over again, we are far more sinful and deserving of punishment than we could ever know, than we'd ever want to believe. Our anger, our judgmentalism, our thoughts, our motivations, the way that we use our words, the way that we use our money, the way that we use our time, the way that we use our bodies, our pride, our gossip, the way that we are willing to take all of the energy that we have, all of our time, all of our effort, all of our attention to pursue something in the world that we think is going to give us life. The Bible calls that idolatry. All of it is sin. All of it deserves consequences. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans that the wages of sin, the thing that your sin earns, is death. It's death. We all know this. That's that feeling in the pit of your stomach when you realize you've messed up. There are consequences for this. And so we try. We try our hardest to chase that guilt, that shame away. We might defend our actions. Well, I didn't exactly say that. What I said was this. We blame shift. Well, I wouldn't have done that if you didn't do this first. We minimize. Yeah, I might have said that, but at least I didn't say this. Look at that person. We try to build up a facade, a person that we present to the world and say, look, I'm actually a pretty good person. I've worked so hard to become a good employee, a good mother, a good husband, a good neighbor, whatever it is. We try to do more good to chase the guilt and the shame away. I know that you have ways of figuring out how to erase your name from the blackboard of judgment. But the problem is, it never works. Later that day, when we got back into class, Mrs. McElhaney sat down at her desk, and she looked at the board, and then she looked at me, and she said, Stephen, wasn't your name on the board? And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess it was. She was like, come on up here and write it up there again. You can never outrun your sin, no matter how hard you try to dismiss or defend or deflect. You can never do enough good to outdo your sin. You deserve the punishment that is coming to you, which is what makes the gospel of Jesus so amazing. It's because God sees our efforts, our failing efforts, and he doesn't say, figure out a better way. You better figure this out before you die. What he says from the very beginning is you're never going to figure it out. So I'll do it for you. God promises early on in Scripture that he will take the guilt and shame of his people, that he will cover their sin. It's a promise he makes in the Garden of Eden. And he reinforces that promise over and over again in the New Testament. I will take your sin. I will cover your shame and your guilt. And in the Old Testament, he gives his people a picture of what this covering, this salvation will look like. You can read about it in Leviticus 16. He says, once a year, I want all of the people of Israel to gather together around the tabernacle. I want you to bring two sheep that are a year old to the tabernacle. And the priest is going to put his hands on these sheep. And God gives the priest words to say. He says that the sins of all the people are now being laid on these lambs. And one is killed, his blood shed, put on the altar and burned as a burnt offering, paying the price of the people's sin. But the other lamb is taken to the gates of the city, sent away, shooed off into the wilderness, taking with it the shame that the people's sin brought upon them. And over again, as the people of Israel repeated this each year, it was a picture. It was a reminder of that promise that God would one day actually, really take the sin of his people, really take their guilt and their shame. And that day came terribly on Good Friday. Jesus, the Lamb of God, as we have heard, was both led out of the city and he was killed for not his mistakes, not his failures, not his sins, but ours. He takes our shame by being cut off from humanity, separated outside of the city, stripped naked, hung on a cross, and made fun of. He takes our guilt by shedding his blood for us, taking the consequences that we deserve. No other third grader in Mrs. McElhaney's class would have erased my name and written their name up there instead. The compassion of Jesus is unmatched. The sacrifice of Jesus is unmatched. The new life that he offers us by his death is unmatched. And if you are trusting in him for salvation, you have access to that new life today, now. And in the upside down world of the gospel, you have access to that life through death. Through the death of that facade that you've been working so hard to put forth. When the Spirit of God opens your eyes to the reality of your sin, maybe it's a big public failure. You sin in a way that everybody sees. Maybe it's an exposing of what you've been hiding for so long. Maybe it's the soft words of someone sitting next to you. When the Spirit shows you, you are sinful. The cross calls to us and it says, don't hide it. Don't deny it. Don't deflect. Don't cover it up. That's who you really are. Come to Jesus and own it. Confess it. Tell him, I have sinned. And in the same breath, as you look at the cross, say, thank you for dying for my pride. Thank you for dying for my envy, for my lust, for my idolatry. Thank you for taking my guilt and my shame. As I said at the beginning, one of the ways, one of the strategies that I have followed throughout my life to try and deal with guilt and shame is just not doing a lot. Just kind of coasting, hanging in the background, not taking too many risks, not being too bold. Because if you're not doing too much, if you're not rocking the boat, you can't do anything wrong. You just kind of sit, settle. It's kind of tepid. In our community group, we're reading a book by Tim Keller about the book of Jonah from Scripture. And in it, he references a short story by Flannery O'Connor. And he says that one of the characters she writes about, she created, is named Hazel Motes. And the way she describes Hazel is by knowing the way to avoid Jesus is to avoid sin. And as we read this book, it hit me. The inverse of that statement is true too. If you just go around living your life avoiding sin, you avoid Jesus. And that's what I've done. That's how I live so often. If I just don't make any mistakes, it seems like a good thing, but it really prevents me from engaging, encountering, needing Jesus. And I think that's one of the reasons I love Good Friday so much, is because you can't escape either. My sin is in my face so clearly this evening, and so is Jesus. As it's gotten darker, as we've talked about the things that Jesus went through, it's not comfortable, it's not easy, it feels so bad. It feels like death. But what feels like death through Jesus actually leads to life. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, what a gift you gave us by sending your Son. What love and sacrifice you poured out by having him live the perfect life that we could not live and yet died. A horrible death taking our place. We pray that this evening, as we continue to reflect on this, as we finish reading, as we go back to our homes, that you would remind us, as we just sang, it was our sin that held him there. That Jesus knew that he would die because of what I've done and what I've said, what I've thought, the motivations of my heart. And he still willingly took on the form of man, lived a life obedient to you, because he loved us. He willingly suffered because he loved us. God, we thank you for the freedom that he brings to us through his shed blood, taking our guilt and taking our shame. We pray this all in his mighty name. Amen.